you to love me, let's please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love goes a tumble down. You leave me breathless. Well, I shake all over, and you know why. I'm sure it's love, honey, that's no lie. Cause when you call my name, you know I burn like wood in flame. You leave me breathless.
Oh, yeah, a little Jerry Lee Lewis for you. Wake you up and shake you up on a Monday morning. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I'm adjusting my mic here. I realized it was higher than I was. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner in crime, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this new week. By the way, it's Epiphany. So the boys, the Greek boys, going to be diving for the cross in Tarpon Springs. Boy, it's cold out here today, too. They'll be wanting to get out of the water pretty quickly, I think. In a few minutes, Ryan Young, he of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about Donald Trump's battle in 2019 with regulatory reform to try to curb a lot of the regulations on business in our country. Did he win on that battle? Did he lose? We're going to talk with Ryan and find out. And the Democrats' fangs are out right now for Donald Trump's blood, both on impeachment and his actions in Iran and Iraq. We will get the Northeast perspective on all of this from New York's Angelo Ceresi, and we'll talk a little bit about whether or not Donald Trump did the right thing when he took out that Iranian general. What do you think? And we're dusting off Wilbur the Duck, another edition of Campus Quackery. Iowa State University bans students from emailing about politics. Can they do that? Wow. We will give you the details. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, the top 10 richest counties in America. Do you live in one of them? Are you even close to one of them? We will tell you. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. You guys, it's Andrew's. It's in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza. The plaza is just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. So get over there. Great ambiance. Andrew's the best barber in town. He's got the best staff in town. Great prices. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, go to our website, please. Please, please, ourfreedomworks.com. Oh, you are. Ourfreedomworks.com. We will tell you the upcoming guests. It'll be right on the front page. You will see who's coming up. And we'll tell you a little bit about our shows. You can also go and click on our podcast button there and listen to us. Any of our shows, our recent shows, Big Ed's got them all on there for you. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, well, boy, oh boy, aren't the Democrats, I don't know what to believe anymore. I was thinking, you know, with what Donald Trump did with taking out that Iranian general, I just thought to myself, okay, how would the media respond? How would the Democrats respond if Obama had done the same thing? He had taken out a general, whether it was in Iran or in Libya, or in some other Mid-Eastern country. I just wonder what the reaction would be. Would everybody be running around in Congress and screaming about it? I'm not so sure. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced overnight that she plans on taking measures to stop Trump from doing any further damage in Iran, to potentially curb him in his conduct of military operations. Pelosi and other Democrats, of course, have been screaming about Trump's decision to conduct that airstrike in Iraq that killed the Iranian general Qasem Soleimani. He's head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps' elite, I guess they call it QUDS, QUDS, QUDS Force. Pelosi says, well, he didn't notify us properly. He has no right to do that. He didn't notify us right. But here's the slippery slope we're in. We decided to give the President of the United States the ability to launch these kinds of strikes from time to time. Did we not? Back during the Carter administration, the War Powers Authorization Act. It's actually Congress's responsibility to declare war. That's what the Constitution says. I think we should go back to it because we've had, since World War II, none of the wars we've been in have been declared. Korea, not declared by Congress. And by the way, we're still there, and that war was never won or lost. We had a ceasefire. And that war ended in 1953, when Ed was only a teenager. So, I mean, that's how long it's been. And then we've had Vietnam, not declared. The wars in Iraq, not declared. None of these things were declared. And yet, our soldiers were just as dead when a bullet mortally wounds them, right? Even though it's not a declared war. So we've had this issue with the ability of the president to conduct these kinds of strikes. So I don't know, at this point, maybe it's time for us to get back to the Constitution. Now, you do have to be prepared if somebody launches something. You know, you can't wait and go to Congress and, you know, conduct a vote while someone's already attacking you. So you've got to have provision for that. And I think there's a way to do that. But I'm not sure that the War Powers Authorization Act was correct. It really wasn't. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about all of that.
Did you know during Clinton's impeachment inquiry, his impeachment, he launched airstrikes against Iraq, but they were okay with that?
Well, he launched them in Kosovo.
Kosovo? I thought it was Iraq.
No, not... you talk about Bill?
Well, there's only one Clinton that was in office.
Yeah, Bill didn't go after Iraq. He launched all of that in Kosovo because, in fact, I got it here in front of me. I remember that, too. It was called a wag the dog thing. Is that what you're talking about, Ed? When they said it was like he was trying to divert his impeachment inquiry?
It says Iraq.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. You talk about Bill Clinton.
1998.
Okay. Then if it was Iraq, I stand corrected. He did indeed, at one point, have these actions in Kosovo. And people were saying, well, you're doing that because you're under impeachment.
He's diverting.
Diverting. And they're saying the same thing, you know, about Donald Trump. Oh, he's doing that because he's under impeachment. I'm not sure in this case Trump's worried about being, he's not going to be thrown out of office. I don't know why he would do it.
Sure, Pelosi was in office back then. When she was only about, 70, 75
years
old back then?
Yeah, she was in her late 60s. Yeah. Let's not make her too old. Anyway, what a tangled web we weave when all we do is this kind of nonsense, right? We're going to take our break. We're going to change topics. We're going to talk about regulatory reform. Did Donald Trump do well in 2019?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back and delighted to have Ryan Young back with us. Ryan is a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. They kind of keep a tab on things like regulations, and in fact, at the end of the year, do a prospective. They've done one again. This is really why we're going to talk about it. You know, we all seem to be weighted down by regulations of some sort, and more so when they come from the government. And so, Ryan, you guys did a kind of a little research on this. Wayne Cruz did something in Forbes magazine recently about his Trump's year in regulation. How did Donald Trump do in terms of regulation overall in 2019?
It's a mixed bag. It's definitely an improvement over the last two administrations, at least. And in fact, last year, for the first time, there were fewer than 3,000 new regulations hitting the books, which it's, I mean, we've come to the point where that is an improvement. The first time that's happened since, I think the last time there were fewer than 3,000, it was the Carter administration.
First of all, nobody knows there isn't one single person anywhere that knows all the regulations, right, from Washington. I mean, what do you have to do, have an encyclopedia of regulations in your office whenever you're doing anything?
Well, if you want, you can order a compilation of all existing federal regulations. It's called the Code of Federal Regulations. And if you order it from the government printing office, they will send you about 243 volumes, totaling about 185,000 pages.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there's no single human being alive that's got all the knowledge of the regulations. But anyway, I mean, I guess that's what it's all about. These guys have to have something to do, so they pass these laws in Congress. But so I know that I'm looking here. It looks like Obama, where did it say this? He set the all-time record the all-time record of the Federal Register with 95,894 pages. In 2016, says Trump's first year has been a 35% drop. Now, that does sound impressive.
That is impressive. His first 2 years were both under 70,000 pages each, which, yes, that is a lot.
Yeah.
But compared to the 96,000 of the record year right before that, that's a pretty big one-year change. Of course, as administrations go on, they tend to be a little more active on the rulemaking front. And here we're seeing a repeat of that.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's Federal Register was not only 72,000 pages, so it grew by a couple thousand pages, you know, a couple Bibles worth there. It also happened despite the government shutdown lasting almost all of January. And during that shutdown, the Federal Register, which is where all these things are printed, had maybe 4 or 5 pages per day. I think it set an all-time record. One day's issue had a single page, which has never happened before or since.
Wow.
So despite that being the case for a whole month, the administration still set its own record by about 2,000 pages for the most regulatory activity.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Ryan Young. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about Trump's year in regulation, meaning 2019. So, Ryan, if somebody wanted to go and look at the Federal Register, where would they go? Is it in the Library of Congress? Do you have to go into the Capitol building? Do you order it? How does that work?
The easiest way is to just go to federalregister.gov. And they actually have archives, which are searchable, going back to 1994. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's been published since 1936, so there are nearly 60 years missing from the records, which contain a lot of the records and regulations, agency notices that have impacted a lot of policies still in place today. But they've got a good start as far as having some manageable transparency there.
Now, Donald Trump, of course, ran on the idea that regulations like this that emanated from Washington, he was going to do something about it. And indeed, they touted that they were going to, knock down two regulations for every one that was enacted or something like that. I don't remember exactly what they said.
That's right.
About that. Do you feel that is being accomplished pretty much, or just overall, what do you think?
Overall, it's really muddy, and despite federalregister.gov, there are a lot of transparency problems regarding that. On the plus side, the administration has largely kept to its one-in, two-out policy for getting rid of old rules. If an agency wants to pass a new rule, that's fine, but you got to get rid of two old ones costing roughly the same amount. They've kept to that, and in fact, part of the inflated Federal Register counts are agencies getting rid of rules. They have to publish notices and rules about that. So some of what's in there is deregulatory, which is awesome. I would love to see more of that.
Yeah.
On the negative side, a lot of the regulatory barriers the administration is imposing are not in the form of regulation, so they don't appear in Federal Register page counts. These are things like trade barriers, both tariffs and non-tariff trade barriers, making things more difficult at customs, enacting quotas and sourcing regulations. There's a push to revive antitrust regulations, which can have multi-billion-dollar costs to both businesses and consumers. Those are policies put in place by courts, not by regulatory agencies. So those don't show up, despite their major impact, in rule counts or in Federal Register page counts. So it still remains to be seen whether the Trump administration on net is going to be a deregulatory force. They've been much better than the last couple administrations, but Americans might still not be better off on net after years of, frankly, needed reforms.
Yeah.
There's just so much to do. I don't know if they can do it all.
Now, the Trump administration touts the low unemployment rate. They touts, how well businesses are doing. It touts the stock market. The indicators that we typically look at seem to be very positive since Donald Trump took office. And the Trump administration says a goodly part of all of this is indeed cutting back regulations on businesses. I'm not talking about regulations, from bureaucracies inside the government necessarily, but the outward regulations that go out and are draped over these businesses. Is indeed what they've been doing with regulations on businesses, has that really, let's say, increased business activity? I know it's very hard to measure. I'm just kind of getting a sense from you on that.
Yeah, it really is almost impossible to measure because a lot of what they do doesn't appear on the books. There is a formal rulemaking process. That's what we see in the Federal Register. But there's also a lot of what we call regulatory dark matter. If an agency knows that a rule will be controversial or unpopular, sometimes it just dodges that process and it'll publish a notice, or some regulations have even been enacted simply through a blog post on an agency's website. There's very little transparency to this. There's no measurement, no accountability. Congress does little to nothing to keep that in check. So a lot of what we're seeing, as good as the rule counts look, and as good as some of the other numbers look, agencies are very creative when dodging things.
I bet they are.
Frankly, career staffers, administrations come and go, staffers will stay in the same job for 30 years. So if they have their own agenda, they can implement it much more effectively than can political appointees who come and go every couple of years.
It would really be interesting to see somebody come in and sweep clean everything, you know, like a new administration comes in. I mean, literally, everybody, you're all gone. You're all goodbye. We're starting over. I mean, this is impossible. You couldn't possibly do it. But it would be very interesting to see how well or effectively our federal government ran if that was ever done. Go ahead.
Well, we have ideas for that, such as a commission that would every year go over one part or several parts of the Code of Federal Regulations and sweep it clean. Keep this rule. This rule is obsolete. That rule is harmful. Just put them all together in a package, send it to Congress, and Congress can vote up or down on that. This would happen every year, so that way,
that would
two cycles, the entire 185,000-page apparatus would be gone through maybe once a decade, once every 15 years.
That would be a good idea.
Continue forever.
Yeah.
We've written papers on this.
Is there any chance we can get somebody's ear in Congress that's got any weight so that it can be pushed? I mean, what's the chances something like that could occur?
Well, we'd have to get Congress to pass the bill, and that would be well nigh impossible. A lot of people love the idea, but the politics of it are right now impractical.
They are, huh? Of course, we'd have Democrats that aren't speaking. Thing. Yeah, Democrats are not speaking to Republicans anymore. I mean, I have never seen, you know, when it comes to anything, I have never seen the wall that seems to separate them. So we're not getting a lot of things passed. Now, it could be a good thing. I don't know. Maybe we're not getting as many regulations passed because of it either. But it seems to be that there's almost a, I don't know, do you get that sense, Ryan? Is there some sort of a standstill going on when it comes to Congress right now?
I do, and I think it's baked into the rules of the institution. So I don't think it's necessarily Republicans or Democrats being bad actors. They're playing by the rules that are given to them in the game. If the majority wasn't so powerful compared to the minority in Congress, you'd see more cross-aisle participation because both parties agree on a lot of good ideas, especially when it comes to transparency and disclosure. The trouble is the Democrats don't want to go along with what would end up being a Republican victory and vice versa in the other chamber. So it's...
Yeah, I mean, they're willing to sacrifice their principles for politics and something like that. Is that right?
This surprises you.
No. No. No, it doesn't. I'm just kind of reinforcing it. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just like, and I know the CEI doesn't get into, you know, favoring one group over another. But it just seems like you can go back and look at these same politicians being 180 degrees different if you go back a couple of administrations. They'll get up and talk about things in one way that they completely talk against now. It's laughable, but it's sad at the same time. I mean, it's very, very frustrating. So do you think, let's end it here. For 2020, as we launch 2020, is there any chance we can get better regulatory reform? Do you think it'll be a front line issue at all in Washington?
I see other stories overshadowing it, but even if there's not too much Congress is going to do, there are some things that can be done via executive order. The administration's already taken some moves to address that dark matter problem I was talking about, mm-hmm. where rules don't go through the right process, and so they remain hidden. Staying on that course can do some good, but really, we're not going to see permanent solutions until Congress enacts legislation that's going to have much more staying power than one administration's executive order.
Gotcha. Ryan, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. We thank you. Happy New Year, and we'll be talking with you down the road.
Happy New Year. Thanks, Paul.
All righty. Ryan Young of CEI, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Great organization. You know, they're looking out for us in such things as regulatory reform. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, hopefully, we will talk with our buddy from the North, get the Northeast perspective on what's going on in impeachment and in Iraq.
She crawled in and took control. She was tired as her mind was breaking. I said,
get some sleep and dream of rock and roll.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. It's Epiphany. I guess not too many Christians celebrate that anymore. It used to be what in the Catholic Church they called it, a holy day of obligation, I think. But up in Tarpon Springs, it's a big deal, Ed. We got the Greek heritage up there, diving for the cross. And
it always
all
seems to fall on like the coldest day of the year.
That's true.
I mean, it's pretty cold. What, 50 something out there?
Yeah, it is. It is coolish.
I say make it more interesting. Throw a couple piranha in there and see how fast. See which ones really want it.
That's not very nice. Not very nice at all.
Cardboard shark fins.
Oh goodness! Can you imagine them jumping out of the water if that happened? Can you imagine?
I'm surprised.
The heck with a cross! I'm getting out of here.
See which ones really want it.
I tell you. Oh, God. Well, listen, we got our buddy to give us the Northeast perspective, Angelo Ceresi from upstate New York. Angelo, it's cold down here in Tampa. Is it cold up there?
Well, it's cold, but down there would be a heat wave for us. 50 degrees? Are you kidding me?
What's the temperature right now in Rochester, approximately?
About 32.
Ew. Don't think
we had a little bit of snow last night.
So
it's cold enough to keep it on the ground here.
It's been pretty warm overall, right?
Yeah, it hasn't really been that bad, to be honest with you. We've only had, I think, so far about 40 inches of snow.
40?
For the entire season, it'll go from
Did
November
you say 40 or 4?
What's that?
Did you say 4-0 or 4?
4-0.
40 inches of snow so far?
So far.
That's a lot. Isn't
yeah, because the average up here, I think, is like 90, something like that. I could be wrong.
Oh, goodness.
But, for the entire season.
Okay. Well, I want to get your perspective. First of all, since we last spoke with you, and we speak with Angelo every Monday on our show, he's good enough to give us his perspective every Monday. Donald Trump and our military took out this General Soleimani, this Iranian general. I guess he was at the Iraqi Air Force base or something when they did it. Do you think do you think we should have done this, or should we have just kind of stayed out of that idea?
Well, they had the opportunity to take him out, and he's been a problem all along. And I'm sure he was leading the charge against our embassy there in Iraq, instigating it, getting his people to do all that. Sure, take him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's a terrorist to begin with. And,
yes, he was head of
this war on terror going on since 9/11.
He was
talking 19 years now, about time somebody took a stance and, took action.
He was the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps' elite Quds force also. So he was, he's not an innocent bystander. I guess the interesting thing was we did this in Iraq, and he's from Iran. But it goes to show you what kind of a stranglehold Iran seems to have, you know, even in Iraq. So it's a mess. It's a mess. Now, since then, apparently, Iran claims it's going to completely ignore whatever you want to call that agreement that Obama negotiated with them on their military.
I don't think they really went along with it to begin with.
Capability, right. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Really? What exactly are they going to change? Because it seemed to me they were hell-bent on developing some sort of a nuclear weapon, and they hadn't slowed down even with that agreement. So I don't, I'm not sure that there's any difference there. Your thought on that?
No way, not. if you believe, if anybody believes that, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge.
Really?
You know, I mean, come on. Let's face it. They have declared war against us before, have they not? They have said
death to America, the great Satan. We've been called that by them
for years.
Ever since
they overthrew the Shah.
They overthrew the Shah. Exactly.
And they have declared war against us. I mean, they were jumping in the streets when our Twin Towers fell and all that happened back in 9/11, right? I mean, people forget that we have been at war right now since 9/11. You're talking, this is what, 2020, 19 years. How long do you keep fighting a war? When is it going to stop? And the only way they understand what's going to happen is when we take action.
Now, the Democrats would tell you that we are making things worse in terms of war by doing this. Rather,
well, they keep saying that we're going to start a war.
I got news
for them. We've been at war. This just didn't happen yesterday, you know? We are at war. I mean, look at all over the world. I mean, our embassies, our people are never safe around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, you have to treat these people just to what they understand. The only way they're going to stop is if we don't piddle around with them. You know what I'm saying? We don't appease. Look what happened in the 1930s when Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of England. He appeased the Nazis, and look what happened.
Yeah, I remember he came back. Well, we don't remember it, but we read about it. He came back to Britain saying, peace in our time with Adolf.
That's right.
Big smile on his face. And then before he almost finished his sentence, Hitler invaded Poland.
Right. I mean, the guy kept annexing, doing this and doing that. And, you know, nobody did anything. Then when they found out, he's such a bad guy, we have to take action, then it's too late.
Yeah, indeed. We're talking with Angelo Ceresi. He gives us, I call it the Northeast perspective, from good old Rochester, New York. On another issue, Angelo, Lindsey Graham, he of Republican in from South Carolina, says that if Nancy Pelosi does not deliver those articles of impeachment, pull them out of her medicine cabinet, deliver them over to the Senate, the Senate should take matters, as he puts it, in our own hands.
Absolutely.
So your thought, do you think that McConnell, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, Republican, should ask for a vote on whether or not to even consider a conviction? Do you know what I mean? Just take a sense of the Senate on that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, all she's doing is trying to stall for time, and she's going to hold this over the president's head going into the election, hoping that she can get a Senate majority. That's all she's trying to do. And especially since we have been at war now, starting with all this stuff, that she is trying to limit his war powers as the president, you know?
Yes, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, all she's trying to do is make this guy look bad. And I would say the Senate should just go on, have a trial, and do it just the way they did, you know? Call their witnesses that they want, just like Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler did,
right?
You know? Well, I mean, how fair was it for them? right? Was that fair? Does the American public think that they had a fair inquiry? I don't think so.
Right. So Lindsey Graham goes on, he says, what I would do if Pelosi continues to refuse to send over the articles, I would work with McConnell, Senator McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, to change the rules of the Senate so we could start the trial without her.
That's right.
So go ahead, you know, say, because, I mean, it's actually just a formality. Everybody knows what the impeachment articles are.
Right. And they're so lame, and the way they went about it is a farce.
Right.
It's a travesty of justice. Terrible.
He gives her till the end of the week, and then he says we should take action on our own. That's what Lindsey Graham says.
That was me. I'd give her 24 hours, and that's it.
Yeah. Hmm.
I mean, she's just playing games. I mean, she has no control. I mean, do you want to have a fair trial? She's going to tell them what to do? They didn't say nothing to her when she was holding her shenanigans, right?
Right, right. Indeed.
What gives her the right to say something now, you know? And if people put this dumb idiot in office again, that Nancy Pelosi, they deserve what they get.
Well, you know, California, although you would start thinking that people in California would start to figure out that whatever we're doing is not working, and we've been having the Democrats run our state for quite a while.
But look at New York State. Over 77,000 people have left this state.
Yes.
I mean, more people have left New York State than any other state in our country.
Yeah, we actually did a little report on that. You're right about that. Speaking about New York, your buddy Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, has...
Former mayor, yeah.
Yeah, has seen a six-point bump in the latest survey, if you believe this particular survey. It's the Hill-Harris survey.
Yeah, the Harris poll.
Yeah, of the Democratic presidential primary. Now, I've been noticing even in Florida that Bloomberg is running commercials. Have you seen any on TV?
We had a couple here in Steyer also. That's about it.
Yeah, well, we're getting them now. And, you know, it talks about how the Health Care Act, Bloomberg is basically, when he, helped New York State with health care. I don't know how he ties in with the Affordable Care Act, but he tries to.
He didn't do anything with us. Not a darn thing.
So we got Bloomberg, who's spending all of this money, and apparently on this particular poll, he has gone up from 5% to 11% support. Now, that's actually quite a jump, considering he was only at 5%. He's now in a dead heat, according to the poll, for third place with Elizabeth Warren, who also gets 11%. Bernie, your buddy Bernie Sanders, he gets 16%. And your favorite guy, your very favorite Joe Biden, I guess, is in first place.
Quid pro Joe.
Yeah. So, I mean, who do you think? Who do you think is going to come out of this? I know it's hard to tell at this point, but
I would say Biden is still going to be the nominee.
Okay.
Because they're going to go, they think that Biden's going to be the only one to beat him. All these other, I mean, they're too radical. What's his name there?
Buttigieg?
Our buddy there, Bernie Sanders?
Bernie, yeah.
He's a true blue communist.
Yeah, well, Sanders, he's an admitted socialist, he says.
Well, he's an admitted socialist. You know, he's a communist. And Pocahontas, she's way out there in left field.
Elizabeth Warren, yes.
Elizabeth Warren. And Bloomberg, I mean, what's he got going for him? The big gulp, you know?
Yeah.
Banning the big gulp and all the other stuff. That's the, you know, he wants to ban soda pop, you know?
And we had Juan Castro drop out.
He dropped out. Right. So I would say Biden is going to be the nominee. The Democrats will go with him.
Okay.
But I doubt if he's going to be able to beat Trump. I mean,
so if
this thing gets way out of hand, and he does take action and starts, you know, turning Iran into a parking lot, maybe partly anyway.
Well, let me ask you this. The Democrats have another debate coming up pretty soon, or maybe in the middle of the month. I can't remember. Why don't the rest of the Democrats, the ones that are, you know, polling at 2% or whatever it is, why don't they turn on Biden and start bringing up Hunter Biden and what Joe did when he was vice president over in the Ukraine with Hunter? And
they're not going to do that.
Why not?
Because they want him. I think secretly they're doing the same thing like they did with Hillary Clinton. I mean, they're making it to the point that Bernie Sanders couldn't beat Hillary Clinton no matter how many delegates they were getting during the primaries. I think it's they're cheating the same way that they did with Hillary Clinton.
Well, are they all in cahoots here?
I would think so.
Okay.
They know that, you know, they know that the only person that's going to draw is going to be the former vice president. He's got the name recognition. He's got this. He's got that. You know, so they're going to stay safely with Joe Biden. I mean, you know, Obama still has his hands into the party, you know, and they're going to do the same thing that they did with Hillary Clinton.
You know, if I was Donald Trump and it was Joe Biden running against me, the name Hunter Biden would be crossing my lips every 12 seconds.
Well, I would hope that the Trump campaign does that, you know, and they'll bring it on up, you know. But of course, the media won't dig into it. You know that.
Well, no, but they'll have to quote Trump. And if we run, and you know, with the basket of money they have, the Republicans are really doing well in terms of collecting money. They could be running those commercials, bringing up that whole deal with Hunter Biden, couldn't they?
They should. Yes, they very well should.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go to an impeachment, unless it goes to the Senate, right? And they do have an impeachment trial and everything, I would subpoena Hunter Biden. I would subpoena Joe Biden.
Right. Well, see, it depends. Now, Chuck Schumer, the minority guy in the Senate from New York, another buddy of yours.
Yep.
He wants witnesses, but he doesn't want any of those stinking Republican witnesses. He only wants Democrat witnesses.
Right, right. Because he's doing the same thing that they did with the House.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, he was... Back in Bill Clinton's impeachment, he was one of those guys standing up saying, "No, no, 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 no. We don't want to do that. We don't want to bring that whoever. I can't think of her name now.
The girl. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Monica Lewinsky. Yeah. Thank you, Monica. We can't bring Monica. You know, this is wrong. We don't need to bring this kind of thing up. Boy, he didn't want no stinking witnesses then, did he?
Oh, the politicians. They speak out of both sides of their mouth. What does the American Indian say? Speak with forked tongue."
I tell you, are exactly right. Well, Angelo, it's always a pleasure. And thank you so very much.
I enjoy coming on the show. And hopefully, you know, we'll get out of this mess, you know, with Iran and everything, you know. Something's got to happen.
Well, we're going to see what week and what even in the impeachment imbroglio when we talk with you again next Monday.
Yeah, and the thing is, with this impeachment, all this, with him going into this crisis with Iran, this doesn't do any good, you know? And I would hope that they would kind of come together right now, because we are at war, and we need every support that we can get and stick together and not let this country tear our country apart.
It would be wonderful in 2020 if somehow we started to kind of come together like that. Maybe we can pray for it. Well, thank you again, Angelo.
You're quite welcome. You guys have a nice week, and Happy New Year to all of you.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. There he is, Angelo Ceresi. Okay, we are going to take our final break. When we come back, we got an edition of Campus Quackery. We're going to unearth Wilbur the Duck on it, and it has to do with Iowa State University.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs?
Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all.
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment. And I haven't done a campus quackery story in quite a while, but we got one today with just 1 month left behind the Iowa caucus. Iowa State University is stifling students' First Amendment rights by stopping them from using email to communicate about campaigns and ballot issues. Yeah, Wilbur, what's going on with free speech on a campus? Boy, this is kind of scary. By the way, students are also limited from chalking. Now, chalking is a tradition of drawing political and apolitical messages on the sidewalk with chalk, which has been allowed at Iowa State. University officials approved an interim policy restricting the chalking, and this limits a lot of students from, because they would use the chalking to announce the upcoming student political meetings, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a lawsuit that's been filed by Speech First. It's a nonprofit that advocates for First Amendment rights, and it challenges Iowa State University for their anti-free speech policies.
What's the penalty for drawing like hopscotch on the sidewalks?
I think it's probably execution, but I'm not positive. Yeah. Apparently you can still hopscotch, but don't put a political figure's name in one of the squares.
It has to be one of those virtual ones.
I wonder if kids even do that hopscotch thing. I mean, that goes back to the 40s and 50s.
They do that on their iPads.
Did you ever see a kid do it in school when you were young?
Yeah. Kids actually all over our neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good old time. Well, before we get to our top 10, Ed, we've had the Tampa Bay Lightning's won like six games in a row. They really got their seven, excuse me. He's corrected me. That's right. Seven in a row. What's going on? Have you noticed that they're doing anything different, or are they just finally catching their wind?
Seems to me writing's on the wall for their head coach. So I think they're kind of on a run here to see if, because John Cooper, the head coach, I've never been a fan of his.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
There's so much talent, and they just, you know, especially getting swept last year in the playoffs. That still stings.
Mm-hmm.
But things are, you know, I think things are coming together for a little bit here. It's a lot of hockey still to be played, so seven games, good start. They were talking, you know, a few weeks ago that they need to go on a run. They need to win seven or eight games and miss one or two and then take another seven or eight games and, you know, and start jockeying their way up towards the top. So
if they fail again in the playoffs, as in, you know, early round exit, do you think the coach, John Cooper, would be kept?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
There's so much talent on that team that has to be the problem.
Understood. All right. Real quickly, NFL, some upsets.
Yeah, actually breaking news, the Dallas Cowboys have just hired Mike McCarthy, former Green Bay coach.
Oh, they have?
Just hired him.
Yeah.
Let me check. You know, Jerry Jones. He might be out.
He might be gone within 24 hours.
That was the craziest thing with Jason Garrett. It's like, it was like a breakup between a man and a woman. No, I'm not breaking up with you. No, yes, you are.
Yeah, Jason Garrett was the former Dallas coach.
They're interviewing coaches, and he's still got a job. That was crazy.
That loss to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
That kind of did him in, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Philadelphia, they lost to Seattle yesterday.
They had so many injuries anyway.
But Seattle had a better record. It's just that Philadelphia
had a great record, 11-5 or something like that.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Do you who do you think's going to? Do you have any?
At this point, I have to say the front runner has to be actually the 49ers.
Okay.
I think it could be a 49ers and Chiefs Super Bowl.
Really?
Yep.
What about Baltimore?
Not completely sold on them getting past the Chiefs.
They scare me. If I was...
If you shut down Lamar Jackson, their quarterback, you got it.
Okay.
You got plenty of time to do that.
All right. Thank you for your thoughts. Over to the drums real quickly, because I've broken into our top 10 time. Well, we have the top 10 richest counties in the United States. This is ranked by median household income. Median household income. Here we go. Number 10. Somerset County, New Jersey, where the median income is $119,700, to be honest. All right. Number 9. Douglas County, Colorado, $120.7 million median income. Number 8. Arlington County, Virginia, $120.9 million. Wow. Number 7. Not far away, Fairfax County, Virginia, it's $122 million there. Wow. Number 6. California, San Mateo County, $122.9 million. Number 5. Marin County, California, $122.9. It's actually almost a tie with San Mateo, but a little bit better. Number 4. We're still out west. Los Alamos County, New Mexico, $124.9 million. Number 3. Back to California. Boy, they got a lot of counties in California. Mm-hmm. You'd think with all the trouble they've had, some of these people are going to be bailing out. But anyway, Santa Clara County, California, $125.9 million. All right. Number 2. Golly, Virginia's got a lot. Here's another one. Falls Church City, which is a county apparently. Falls Church City, Virginia, $137.5 million. Dollars. You know something? I wonder, all these Virginia places, it's always, they all have to do with Washington, D.C. And it just goes to show.
Yeah, that's where they stay.
Yeah, and it just goes to show all these rich people, how do they get rich? They get rich off the taxes of other people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it's all about. It's kind of discouraging, really, to hear that. All right. You're not going to know what it is, Ed, so I won't even bother asking you what you think. But here is the number one.
I'll say in California.
Okay. That's good.
Near Beverly Hills. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I would guess. What about down in Florida here? What about around...
Really?
I'm just asking. What about Palm Beach area and that kind of thing?
That's true.
No, well, it isn't. Number one is Loudoun County, Virginia. Again. Wow. Yeah, it's Virginia. It's all this government stuff.
Yeah.
But they have $140,382,000 median income in that county. That means if you're driving down any street there, you know, you got these block-long houses. Kind of depressing.
That's where you go door-to-door selling stuff.
Yeah.
Make some money down there.
Yeah, but you can't even get through that front iron gate to get up to the front door. Well, anyway, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a delight to have you with us. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Freedom Works, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tantalk Radio Network. We will be back Wednesday. In the meantime, do remember, Freedom Works.
You got me looking at that heaven in your eyes. I was chasing your direction. I was telling you no lies, and I was loving you when the words are said. Baby, I lose my head.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF.